Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God which engages us today is the last verse of the Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, where Jesus says, "Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Well, surprise! Surprise! Guess what? Today is Christmas. Did you know that? Today is Christmas. Are you ready? Got all your presents packed? Packaged up? Ready? Got all your Christmas cards mailed off? You have lunch ready? Christmas lunch or Christmas dinner? If you're like me, you're not ready. Well, I'll tell you, it should be Christmas because, I mean, it's been about 4 or 5 weeks since I walked into Lowe's and I discovered that all the Christmas stuff was out. It was before Reformation Sunday. Before Halloween, before even I had gotten all my leaves done, before all the leaves were even off the trees. So at least the people at Lowe's thought Christmas was here. Well, how would it be if Christmas came as a surprise? You knew that someday after Thanksgiving, maybe someday in December, any day in December or maybe right after Thanksgiving, Christmas could be that day. It'd be a surprise. Would you change the way you approach Christmas if that were the case? You'd have to be ready at any time for Christmas to come. It'd change my life. How do you prepare for that? Be preparing for that, celebrating the first coming of our Lord in a different way, wouldn't it? We would have no countdown, as Samantha said earlier. How are you prepared? Well, I want to tell you about little experience that I had in seminary. There were some professors at Concordia Seminary who, you had to be prepared if you came to their class because you never knew when they were going to call on you to make your translation in Greek or Hebrew. And if you hadn't prepared your translation for that day, well, guess what? He was going to stay with you the whole hour. and you would learn to translate it through the hour. And it was painful if you were there and you weren't ready. And every once in a while, he would call on someone else, you know, to help out with a noun here or a verb there. But he would stay with the same student all the way through the hour. So these professors who did this became well known for it. And it wasn't long before everybody who went to class was prepared because they didn't want to be that guy. Well, there were a couple guys who, well, if they weren't prepared, they didn't go to class today. Being prepared. Well, Jesus has a message very much like that in the gospel lesson read earlier today. Far more important than preparing for a family Christmas, far more important than preparing for a class, I suppose. Preparing for his return, when, as we said earlier in the Apostles' Creed, he will come to judge the living and the dead. The day when you and I will join all of humanity in standing before the judgment seat of God. And in our text today, Jesus teaches us several important things. The first is, as we said in as we read earlier, no one knows the day or the hour. We don't know when he's going to come back. Not even the Son knows, only the Father in heaven. Now that has not stopped many groups and individuals down through the ages of saying that they know when it's going to happen. It's like there's a big crystal ball that's going to come down, and there's a countdown, and you know exactly 3, 2, 1. You know when it's going to hit. There's a guy named Joseph Smith who said, "The end of the world is going to happen on February 15th, 1891. Pat Robertson said it would happen in 1982. David Koresh, 1995. Harold Camping, September 1st, 1994. And again on October 11th, 2011. There's one group that maybe, I guess you could say, takes the cake about making end-of-the-world predictions. The Watchtower Society, they predicted it would occur in 1914, 1915, 1918, 1920, 1925, 1941, 1975, and 1994. As you know, they were right every time. Obviously, you know they're wrong. As have been scores of people throughout history who have tried to predict when Jesus comes. But he says, no one knows. He will come back when you don't expect it. Concerning that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, not even the Son, Jesus, to which we would quickly add, according to his human nature, but only the Father in heaven knows. And in addition to no one knowing, Christ also indicates in our text a second thing. Everything is going to be very routine and ordinary that day. He compares it to what happened just before the flood in Noah's day. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man, says Christ. Everything will be rather ordinary. You will be walking into Lowe's. Two men walk into Lowe's. I mean, it sounds like a story or a joke. Two men walk into Lowe's. One is taken and one is left. One buys Christmas stuff and one doesn't. I don't know. It'll be an ordinary day. What's an ordinary day for you? You get up. You have breakfast. I don't know. You take a shower. You go to work. You go to school. You read the paper. You read the internet. I don't know. Ordinary, ordinary, ordinary. People doing the same thing. The same thing that you did yesterday. Same thing that you do today. Same thing that you do tomorrow. One will be writing a crossword puzzle. And another will be two. And one will be taken and one will be left. One will be knitting. One will be playing the flute. One will be playing the trombone. One will be taken and one will be left. I think about all those people who are going to be mowing their lawns. All of a sudden, one will be mowing the lawn and one will be taken, one will be left. I don't know. One will be working in the field. He says, one will be taken and one will be left. Two will be working at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. You ever wonder if it's better to be the one who's taken or the one who's left? In Noah's day, In Noah's day, the ones who were left were the ones who weren't swept away by the flood. Well, Jesus doesn't tell us which is to be better, to be taken or to be left. But there will be a division that day. It will make a difference. He will come back at a time that's only known to the Father, and everything else will seem very ordinary that day. But we know it's a time we will not expect. So we need to be prepared for that day. So what do we do? What is there for us to do then? Oh, we do exactly what Christ tells us to do. He says, therefore, you must always be ready. You must always be prepared, for the Son of Man comes at a time you do not expect. But in reality, how much do we think about that day? How much do we think about the day when Christ will return? I don't know about you, but every day I get up, I have breakfast, I take a shower, I get ready and go to work, day after day after day. And what am I thinking about? I'm thinking about all the things I've got to do that day. Places to be, people to see, whatever it is. The busyness of my life. Are you thinking about the end of the world? Are you thinking about Jesus' return? Could be today. And in that busyness, and in that routine, I've got time to hold a grudge against somebody who did me wrong. Today I've got time for that. Today I've got time to watch that commercial about that beautiful car that comes with a bow on it. I've got time to covet that. Or the one my neighbor just got. I've got time to be influenced by all those things in the world that point me to the here and now. All those influences that don't point me to Christ. I've got time to think about all that. The here and now. There are a lot of influences out there that draw our attention away from the age that is to come to the very here and now. And if we're not careful, we as Christians can get focused that way too and not be focused on Christ's return, not be ready. There is the danger of sin and getting wrapped up in sin and not being ready. That's why we have the season of Advent. The Word of God comes to us in Advent, and it's so beneficial for every one of us. Because in Advent, God comes to us and says with certainty that He is coming. He is coming. There's no question if Christ will return. He will return. There's no question about whether it's going to occur. Scripture takes it as a matter of fact. We wonder about when it will be, but we don't know. So in Advent, God raises our perspective away from the here and now to what there is to come. And who is to come, which is Christ our Lord. He reminds us as we pray to ask for His help, so that as we pass through these temporal times, as we pass through the busyness and the routines of our life, we're not left there. We don't lose our focus on Christ and what He has done for us. You see, in Advent, God comes to us and assures us of what He has already done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's done what we cannot do. He has prepared us for salvation. He has made us ready to stand before His judgment seat, clothed in a robe of righteousness won by His blood on the cross. It's His righteousness that prepares us. It is His righteousness that clothes us. It is His righteousness that makes us ready to stand before Him on the last day. In the season of Advent, the church waits. All believers wait patiently for the first coming of Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas. 4 weeks to wait. We don't jump ahead to that Christmas that all the department stores are ready for. We don't jump ahead in the middle of October. Instead, the church waits patiently. Patiently. Last Sunday, with Samantha, our DCE intern teaching confirmation class, I had the opportunity to attend our adult Bible class between services. We watched this short movie. It's called Through the Gates of Splendor. It's about half an hour long. And it's about some five missionaries who went to Ecuador to meet with the Aucas, a tribe, a very fierce tribe of Native Americans that no one had ever really brought the gospel to. It's in the late 50s, and the movie is made out of all this, what looks like home movie production, you know, original footage. And these five missionaries went to meet the Aucas, and in fact, the story is about them and their family. These five missionaries were speared by the Aucas. The Old Testament reading talks about beating your spears into pruning hooks. Well, they were speared to death. These five missionaries went there, and nobody really knew the Auca language because nobody could approach them without and survive, I guess, because they feared that any outsider would kill them. So the language wasn't known. Well, their approach was they came by airplane, one of those little two-seater prop planes that you see. They would fly over, and they would drop gifts to the Aucas. And after a while, the Aucas built a little tower out of, Amazonian wood, I guess, and to be closer to the plane that kept dropping gifts to them. Well, after that happened, then they said, well, let's try to meet the Auca. So these five missionaries landed, the plane left them there, and a couple, a man and a woman, came out of the forest and met with them. And they showed the footage of it. The day that they met the Aucas, they were all very happy, and they were trying to show how the plane worked and how everything landed, and they tried to explain if you were to cut down all these woods, we could actually land here instead of on the beach. They tried to explain all kinds of things, but they really couldn't say any words, so it was all acting. This was all filmed by the pilot. The pilot took off the next day, left these five missionaries there on the ground. And as maybe you know, they were killed the next day by the Aucas, who feared them, I guess. And the pilot who had shot this footage came back with a recovery party to recover the bodies of these five missionaries who were killed. And discovered that each of these five missionaries had a rifle, but not one shot had been fired. And this is because they had, as they had prayed beforehand and as they had said before they left, they weren't going to hurt any Alka. They came to bring the gospel to them. You see, they were prepared to meet Jesus. And they were bringing the gospel to those who were not prepared to meet Jesus. Well, it so happened that about a year later, one of the Alka women left the tribe and came into one of the villages where a missionary's widow and her young daughter were living. And she got to know them, and eventually she went back to her village, told them about this guy Jesus, who she had come to know through the missionary's wife. And she invited the missionary's wife and her 3-year-old daughter to their village, to the same village of the people who had killed her husband. And she went in faith and brought the gospel to this village of people who then actually broke all their spears. Now, people who killed her husband and the husbands of 5 other women knew who Jesus is. And now they are prepared too to meet Jesus on that last day. I don't know about you. That's not an ordinary day for me. I don't know that I could do that. I don't know that I could take my daughter to a place that had just killed my spouse. But she could. And she did. Because she was prepared by Christ to meet Christ. Her husband and the other 4 missionaries were prepared to meet Christ that day or any other. And they were prepared by Christ Himself. That same Christ who comes to you this day in His body and blood to forgive you for every grudge that you ever held, for all that covetousness that comes so easily to us, for that sin that we fall into so easily. That's what He came for. He came to people who would kill Him. Because He loved them. Because He loves you. That is your Savior. Always be prepared to meet Him. When He comes, run to Him in joy and in peace and in hope. He comes for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please join me in prayer.